All right. Thank you, Brother Jonathan. If you have your Bibles, open to the book of 1 Peter this evening. I know some parents are slipping out to be with their students tonight, but wasn't that a blessing tonight to see those children receive those rewards and things for memorizing Scripture and being faithful? I do realize that we are a little later on in the scheduling, and I promise to get you out on time. I do not think I will be able to cover everything in this outline tonight, but I would like us to notice a few poignant points, I really think, from 2 Peter chapter 5. You know, as I looked at the Awana children coming up and receiving awards, you know, one day there's coming a day when, if you've put your faith and trust in Christ, as Brother Brandon mentioned, then we have a day of reward coming in as well. We also have a day of reckoning. And as I think of, in Uganda, we had children memorize Scripture. Let me just say this. In East Africa, when you're in a place, when we first arrived in 2003, there was an insurgency, there was a rebel warlord there. And I'll never forget being inundated with children and looking at them, and some of them were 6, 7, 8 years old. And one of the very first things we did was we got them a Bible. And you might say, well, some of these children memorized 153 verses. Some of them memorized 31. You saw that. Let me just say this. We're never too old to memorize Scripture. Never too young. You know, you say, well, technically you could be too young. But I'm amazed to see when we had children that came from a plethora of terrible circumstances, how we got them a Bible. I had 8-year-olds that memorized all of Psalm 119, the whole chapter. And I'll never forget one little child looking at me and saying, Pastor, the only way I can sleep at night is by quoting Psalm 119. You know, I'm just telling you this evening. We look at these children coming up and memorizing Scripture. Let me just remind us, it's important for us to be memorizing Scripture, to be hiding God's word in our heart. I remember that little boy saying he could see the things that happened in his village. He could see the things that happened to his parents. And he said, the only thing that calms my mind is Scripture. And you know, tonight we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to get to the end of the passage, and we'll probably get through one point, and I'll probably finish this message in about 3 weeks. Pastor is going to be gone, and I'll try to finish that then. But at the end of this verse in 2 Peter chapter 5, in verse 5, the Bible says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You know, that's something that the Word of God can do for each one of us. I don't know how you've come to this service this evening. Perhaps you've had a very busy work week. Perhaps there's things that are going on. And you say, you know, Jeremy, there's so many things going on, and you need to be established, as verse 10 says, strengthened and to settle you. Let me just say this tonight, as we just saw those children who memorized Scripture, nothing will settle us more than getting in this book. And I'm afraid too many times we get busy with good things. Let me just say this. This is one of the best things you'll ever do with your time. I look at this passage of Scripture, and I see things here about overcoming the adversary of the devil. Satan wants nothing more than to have you go through life and do things that are not of eternal consequence or not of eternal value. And one thing that is of eternal value is memorizing Scripture. We notice in this passage, I see 5 things. I see the priority of humility is essential to overcoming our adversary. You know, tonight, none of us can stand against Satan. I always recoil when I get to this passage of Scripture because I realize none of us are strong enough to fight Satan on our own. None of us have anything in us except wickedness and sin, and we all need to be strengthened in God's Word. I look in this passage, and He says, yea, all of you. And this is where the first four verses he's talking to preachers. And then he switches in verse 5. He's talking to the gathering of church members. And he talks about submitting yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. It's a humbling. And then you look and it says, and be clothed with humility. I'd like you to notice letter A. A contrite or humble spirit is necessary to overcome the adversary. So if you look at number one, the Roman numeral there, the priority of humility is essential to overcoming our adversary. We notice letter A, a contrite or humble spirit is necessary to overcome the adversary. Now you know what? That's completely counterintuitive to what everything our culture teaches us today. Our culture teaches us we have to be first. If you don't get yours now, you won't get it. And you know what? If you think about this day and age, this was in the first century. The subject of humility was something for peasants and for servants, slaves, to come into a situation, and they were the ones who were going to be servants. And yet, I wonder if when Peter was writing this, if he had the idea of, you know what, I remember Jesus washing my feet. You look at this passage of Scripture, and I'm reminded that it's important that we have humility among us. There's no way any of us can be strong or have any hope to succeed tomorrow in our life without being strong and realizing, God, I can't do this on my own. And tonight, maybe you're in a situation at work where you say, you know, there's this situation and I can't handle it. And that's the first thing to realize is to understand, to overcome Satan, we cannot do it by ourselves. You remember in Scripture, he says, without me, ye can do nothing. John 15:5. I like this word, humility here. Notice what he says in verse 5, be ye clothed with humility. The original Greek word here, if you notice in your outline, a spirit of humility must daily be put on. Number one, a spirit of humility must daily be put on. Be ye clothed with humility. The original Greek word for clothed here indicates to tie something on oneself. So it's literally, if you can think about it, if you get an apron and you tie it on yourself, humility is not natural. How many of you have seen your children? Are they just naturally humble? Are they? No. I can tell you, each one of my children, Micah, Michaela, Malachi, there's situations that come up, and it's so funny when it comes up early. I can tell you, you know, I've seen one-year-olds be proud. Any of you seen that? One-year-olds that have to have their way right now. You know, it's something that as they get older and they get to be 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, they need to see humility in your life and in my life. They're watching us. You know, children learn so much at an early age. I look in this passage and he says, you should be clothed in humility. It's something to tie something on oneself. It's not something natural. It's not something you're just born with to be humble. No, it takes a determinate desire in our heart to say, you know what, I'm going to be different than how everyone else is. I want to be humble. The only way for Satan to win now, I've always been encouraged when I've looked at, when I think of, and some of you might not be able to relate to this at the moment, but if you were coming like I am from Uganda, and last year at this time I was still in Uganda visiting, I was visiting, making a trip, so I wasn't here for the Shawana ceremony. But I'm amazed to think, when I was over there, a man coming up to me, he said, Pastor, I need to be free. I said, free from what? He said, sin has dominion over me. And he used the word dominion, which is very peculiar sometimes. I said, man, he knew that phrase. And you know, I looked at him and we went through this passage of Scripture. And he looked at me and he, this gentleman called me 2 weeks ago. He says, you know what, I'm free. You know what happened? He got in this book. He trusted Christ as a Savior a year ago. But now his life is completely different. People said he used to be a very proud individual. They said now he's one of the most meek men in his village. You know what happens when you become, when you humble yourself? People are drawn to that, and we've seen many people saved in his village. Because he's made a decision, I want to be clothed in humility. And what was so important to me before, first, to be first, now he's drawn back. I notice in this passage, we should remember Jesus' words. In John 15:5, when he states, without me, number two, ye can do nothing. So in your blank there, number two, may we can do nothing. We can't overcome Satan in our own strength. The Greek word for humility here is lowliness of mind or self-abasement. You know, that's not something where we just say, well, I'm downing myself. I want to put myself down. No, It's a mental attitude to say, you know what? I have seen, got a call on Sunday. My wife and I were taking a nap. How many of you like to take a nap on Sunday afternoon? Got a call, and it was one of our men who had gotten saved. And he was one of the men who was closest to me. He was one of our security guards that had been in Uganda, and he had really risked his life on several occasions. You know what he had a problem with? He had a problem submitting to, now, he would always submit to my authority, but he had a problem submitting to some of the other authorities in his life. And he called me just this week on Sunday afternoon, and he just said, Pastor, I just wanted to say thank you. You know, it's important that we come to God, and we just say, God, thank you for everything you've given to me. Everything is a gift from God. Every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above, the Father of lights, in whom is no variables of turning. I notice in this passage, the mindset is completely counterintuitive to how our society encourages us to act and behave today. I like watching games with Pastor sometimes. Pastor and I will watch hockey, or we'll watch, this week we watched hockey, we watched some basketball together, and Pastor always recoils when he's watching a game and he sees a guy, you know, pound his chest and put up, you know, a sign or say, the guy hits a three and the guy does this. And Pastor goes, can you believe that guy? That guy had this guy pass him the ball. This guy set him a pick. He never would have made that basket except for everybody else working in a team. You know, today, it's just counterintuitive. You have to make a decision that I'm going to be humble and I want to have God work in my life. I look here. The only way for Satan to win now, once we have gotten saved and once we have put our faith and trust in Christ, is to get Christians to not give their best effort and succumb to the adversary and lose rewards. I notice here in John, as we go down to letter B, we are to humble ourselves before Almighty God. Letter B, we are to humble ourselves before Almighty God. I thought it's infinitely better to humble ourselves than to have God to humble us. I'll never forget a man named Richard. It's in our church in Uganda, and he came. And my pastor's told this story, I think, once here. He came in, and I noticed he had his hand tucked into his shirt. And he came into our service, and I said, how many of you? And I'd given the invitation. I'd preached the gospel, and I noticed he raised his hand, and it was just a nub. There were no fingers, and it was wrapped up, and you could tell there was blood there as from a wound that had not been healed. He also had a bandage wrapped around his head. I'll never forget Richard looking at me after the service, and he says, I want to be saved. And I had to explain to him about sin. You're a sinner. You know, tonight, for any of us to go to heaven, we have to admit that we are a sinner. Richard looked at me, and I'll never forget, what had happened to him was he had lost his hand because he had stolen. But you know what he did in that service? He looked at me, and I went through the gospel with him, and I said, are you a sinner? Richard said, no, Pastor, I'm not a sinner. I said, Richard, you got your hand. I mean, the evidence is pretty obvious. He had machete marks in his head where his skull had been fractured. He had a missing hand. Yet no matter how much evidence you gave Richard, he said, I'm not a sinner. It took about 2 hours to get Richard to realize he was a sinner. I'll never forget our men in our church said, Pastor, we have never seen someone so stubborn. We have never seen someone so stubborn. And I thought, you know, how stubborn are we? Once we take that free gift of eternal life, to say, God, this is my life. This is my job. I want to do what I want. God, this is my attitude. I can treat my wife the way I want. I can treat my husband the way I want. There has to be an element of humility in our life, not just an element. It must be clothed in our lives where when people look at us, when our children look at us, they don't see dad is proud, mom is proud. They see a mom and dad who love God and who are humble, and when they are wrong, they will say, I'm sorry. They'll say, forgive me. I'm amazed when I look in this passage and I see God having to look at us and through the inspiration of Scripture, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. It's a decision that each one of us have to make. And let me just say this. I've been in situations with folks in Uganda where I've had the privilege to witness to folks who were demon-possessed. And I had no strength, I had no power, I had no answers for them, but I sat between here and this table with people who are out of their mind. who had weapons, who my security guard set right here, and I had 4 or 5 men in between us because things were so, Satan was so overtly present. Let me just say that. And I'll never forget taking my Bible and just praying, God, I am nothing. You are everything. God, you must take this book and you must show them how they have to submit to you. They have to submit to Jesus Christ. I got a call 2 months ago from a man named James, the man I was just speaking of. He said, Pastor, thank you for telling me the gospel. Some of you just made commitments to give to Faith Promise Missions. James is a trophy of grace tonight that's for your account. I'm amazed how some of our converts call me on the phone. It costs them sometimes a day's wages to call me for 5 minutes. Sometimes I try to call them on their phone number, it doesn't work, but somehow they get a call out to tell me thank you. And you know what? I look at that and I say, all I was doing was what God told me to do. Let me ask you this. Who is it that God says, humble yourself and give that person the gospel one more time? Who is it tonight that you say, I just need to humble myself and make that phone call and call someone and give them the gospel? And maybe we say, just not tonight. You know, I'm telling you tonight, there are people that will be in hell tonight because we just said, I'll have another chance. I did not know, Pastor, we would get a call this weekend to say Uncle Mark would have leukemia. And there's a chance that it could be very, very serious and he might not be with us very much longer. None of us know what tomorrow holds. But you know what? We know who holds tomorrow. We know God is faithful. We know God is true. And my Uncle Mark, I talked to him or texted with him just recently. He says, you know what? I'm a winner either way. He said, if God takes my life, he said, I'm going to be in heaven, which is far better. He said, if God chooses to heal me, it looks like he could have a type of cancer that's 1 in 100,000. You know what? But by the grace of God, it could be any one of us here tonight. You don't know how many days you have left. I have seen car accidents that I cannot get out of my mind in Uganda where people went into eternity that quick. And you know what? I look at this book tonight and I say, how many times do we have the opportunity to humble ourselves every morning for 20, 30 minutes and just take it and open these pages and get strength from God's word? We're going to notice later on as we go through the outline, I'm done, but we're going to notice when we meet in a couple of weeks, the priority of prayer is necessary to overcoming the adversary. Tonight, let me just tell you this. Last night, Mike and I were talking, and he's not in here, so I can say this, but we were made aware of a situation. We were in the middle of watching a basketball game. He said, Dad, we heard of a situation that was someone passed away. He said, Dad, I think we need to pray. I said, we do. We got down on our knees, and we just prayed. And I saw in Micah's heart a desire to see people saved because of this Christian who had just recently passed away. He said, Dad, how are people going to hear? And it was some people traveling to Madagascar. He said, Dad, how are they going to know? You know what? I don't want to see humility in a 14-year-old kid. I need him to see that in my life. Let me ask you tonight, what is it that we can overcome tonight? He says here, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In verse 7, he says this, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I think that's a really, really direct thing about prayer right there. It's to really, literally take your burden and to throw it. Tonight, I don't know what burden you have. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a work situation. But would you take it to God tonight and say, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to cast it on you tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you humbled yourself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Father, we are sorry tonight, Lord, that we are not better servants for you. Lord, I'm sorry, I'm not a better servant for you. But Father, I thank you for the breath you've given us. And Lord, for the time you've given us to serve you. Lord, even though we do not know the day nor the hour that you may call us, Father, we are thankful that we can cast our burdens upon you. Lord, we're thankful, Father, that you have given us a home in heaven. Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, as we take requests to you tonight, Lord, that you would use this passage of Scripture in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.